Appreciate that good singing. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 15. We'll start there. I don't really have a text this morning, per se. We're going to look at several scriptures, but John 15 is going to be the first one that I look at. It is, by the way, highlighted verse in our sign, John chapter 15, verse number 5. We'll start there in just a few moments. So I've got a New Year's theme. Do more in 2024. I don't know what you think about when you hear those words. They want more. You can't squeeze blood out of a turnip, as I've been told. You can only do so much is all you can do. So can we do more, you think? I've done as much as I can. But I love how God puts things together. A couple of weeks ago, we had the service Hanging of the Green. And little did I know when I was putting the couple of sermons together that we would end up at this place. I did not have this theme in mind until this past week. But if you remember in the Hanging of the Green service, I spoke about where did love come from? Where did peace come from? Where did joy come from? I mean, where in the world would people know what love is? Do you go to a store and get it? Is it taught in elementary school? I mean, all of you went to school. Who didn't go to school? So was anybody taught in school? Was there a textbook called love and you were taught how to love? Have I had a joy, a peace? Where did that come from? And the only place it can come from is from Jesus, our Creator, making us and creating in us this little seed called love, joy, and peace. And it's kind of like yeast in bread. When He comes into your life, that is activated. And it's profound more in your life when you know Jesus as your Savior, love, joy, and peace. And so where did it come from? It came from Him. And it is the only place it could have come from. It didn't come from politicians. It didn't come from money. It didn't come from the accumulation of things or your promotions at work or your careers. It didn't come as you grew up because, as you well know, everybody is a terrible two. Right? The terrible twos. And you just... And they're not very lovey-doveys. And when they become teenagers, they're very not lovey-dovey. If you try to get a love, you know, a hug from a teenager, you can forget it. You might throw a face, you know, food in your face. No, I'm just kidding. Some kids or teenagers are good, but they look at you like you're all weird if you want to hug them, even though you love them. So then we looked at last week, Christmas time is the most beautiful time of the year. And in that message, I brought about the fact that where did giving come from? More specifically, where did we get the idea that the month of December was the month of giving? Some people say that Christmas time is commercialized. Well, commercialization picked up on the fact that people were giving, and that's what they associated it with, and they just decided to make money off of it. That's what happened with the money changers. There's something happening, they thought they could make money at the church house. 30% of most businesses do all their business in the month of December. Why is that possible? Why? Why do they wait to December? I've often wondered, why in the world do people wait to December to start making their sales, generating sales, and doing all these other sales? Why didn't they put everything on sale in January, in February? But they don't. They wait till the end of the month or they wait till the end of the year to put their biggest sales on. Why is that? Because they know you have a heart to give. And they are attracting you by sale to buy something so that you can give it. Where did it come from? Well, I believe it came from Jesus Christ coming to this earth as the special gift to humanity for salvation, and they're killing the enmity between God the Father and us. He is the go-between. He is the love, joy, and peace. And He's the gift that keeps on giving. And so we go into 2024, and I ask you this question: will 2024 be more of the same of what you've done in your life, or are you going to do more? And when you do more, who are you going to do it for? Will it be more like the past of doing more? You're really busy in January, February, you're going to make those goals, you're going to meet the resolutions that you commit to, and you're going to, as it gets down through the year, you're going to die out like most times. Or will it be more about Jesus? If you remember last week in the message, I made a declaration that I wanted to give more of Jesus to others. That was my gift. I don't want to give more things. I just wanted to give Jesus out more to more people. There's a song, it's an African-American spiritual, and you've probably heard it, and it goes like this. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, but give me Jesus. There's another song, and it's in our hymn book, that goes like this. More and more about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me, more about Jesus. If you live in the South much, and you listen to what is called Southern gospel music, they have this thing called gospel hymn sing, and there's a group called the Inspirations, and they go around the country, and they go to a big church, and they'll bring out what they call the red back books. Anybody ever heard of that? Okay. So there's a red back book. It's called the Church Hymnal, and we used to have it here at our church. And this song is on page number 4. And whenever you called out, we used to have in our church, one night a month, anybody could get the song book and come up and lead the song, and everybody would sing it at our church. This is when I was growing up. And so everybody knew that if somebody picked out from 1 to 12 in that song book, it's going to be a fast, two-time, you know, multiple-part song. And these songs in this hymn book are, they're shape notes, number one, unless they've changed it, but and you might not know what shape notes are, but they were shape notes. And then they were a four-part harmony, and you could have a really good bass and baritone and soprano notes in these songs. So this one particular song goes like this. This is the verse. While traveling through this world of sorrow, I'm on my way to glory land. I'll not turn back for some tomorrow. My trials are here, I understand. This is the verse. The chorus is about two times actually longer than that. This is one of the most unusual songs. It's because there's two verses, but the chorus takes up a whole page. And so it goes like this. I want to know more. In the repeat, I want to know more about my Jesus. Yes, I do. I want to know more. And by the way, some song books had it at 6-8, some 4-4, but most churches sang it at double time, you know, fast, really fast. I want to know more about my Lord, my blessed Lord. I want to know more about that mansion I'm going to receive as my reward. And it goes on to say, I want to know more. I want to know more about that homeland, that wonderful homeland. I mean to go there. I mean to go there someday, somehow, someday, somehow. And after I reach that heavenly city, I mean to know more. Yes, I'm going to know more than I know now. And people would sing that song. And when I was a kid, I thought, well, man, when I get to heaven, I'm going to know more than I know now. That's for sure. I'm going to know it all because Jesus is going to reveal everything to me. And it's going to be such a beautiful place. And while I'm here on this earth, I should do all I can to learn as much as I can about God, about my place in this world, about what God's will for my life is, what His purpose is for my life. And so this morning I'm going to give you a couple of points about knowing, doing more in 2024. And the first thing is, obviously, I want to do more for my Lord in 2024. But the question is, what is that doing going to be? What's it look like? Are you going to be doing more for yourself? You're going to take care of yourself? You're going to treat yourself? Are you going to do more for your family? Are you going to do more for your country, your community? Famous speech by John F. Kennedy in 1961. You'll know these words. These were the words of his inaugural speech, January the 20th. One of the shortest inaugural speeches that's ever been recorded in history. He didn't say a whole lot, but he said this: ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. A great statement, great inspiration, but in that speech he said this, and it's often overlooked. He said, the world is a very different place now, for man holds in his moral hand the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life. And yet the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. And then he went on to say, the belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we will pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, in order to assure the survival and the success of liberty, to be free. When you think about freedom, in the aspects of what he's saying, that he will do anything at all costs to protect freedom. When you think of freedom, is it freedom from, you know, the enemy? Is it freedom from work? You want to retire? Freedom from debt? Freedom from trouble? But the greatest freedom is the freedom or the liberty of the soul. The chains come off, and they only come off with a life that is identified with Christ, that the bondage of real sin sets men's souls free. And may we do more in 2024 with that in mind, to set men's souls free from the bondage of sin. May we show them the love of God. May we show them what joy is really like. May we experience peace and offer mercy to those who need mercy. The Bible says in John chapter 15 in verse number 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciple. And you could say, with the much fruit, more fruit. Much more fruit, he goes on to say. If we remain in him, if we do what he tells us to do, if we're, you know, strictly after the very things of God's heart, not just asking for our own selfishness, but asking for real, tangible things. In light of the world and the world having Jesus, let me ask you a question. Have you ever prayed that a soul would be saved? Now, you may have done it maybe for someone's close to you, but have you really prayed for that as much as you pray for a new job, as you pray for money and getting out of debt and survival of a marriage and so on and so forth? How much time do we really spend praying? He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you will. What are we asking for? And the world needs Jesus more than anything else in the world. We should ask that the world see Jesus and know Jesus and experience Jesus, and they can only do that through us as we abide in the vine and obey His words. So here's the action item for 2024 to do more. First of all, pray for souls. Second of all, go find the lost ones and bring them in is the third one. Go out and get them. You can pray, but if you don't do anything with the action of your praying and asking God, they're not going to just walk in the heaven. Now, God may dump water on their head and wake them up like Paul, but you praying, you've got to go ask, you've got to go get them. Seek them. Jesus would leave the 99 and he would go find the one that is lost, and that's what we should do. Our business will be taken care of. God's going to take care of us, but we got to find the lost. Go get them. And then when we go get them, we got to bring them in. So I commit to you, I want to do more in 2024, not doing a bunch of junk, not doing more activity, not working harder, just doing these three things: praying, going, and bringing them in. The second thing, not only do I want to do more, but I want to know more about my Lord. And if you want to stay in sequence with the D's, I want to do, then you can say something like, I want to dwell or digest more of the Lord. Paul said this in he was in prison, Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 8. He said, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That's all he wanted. He wanted Christ. He loved him so greatly and so dearly, and even though he was in prison, he could have been complaining about the food and his environment and there's no lights and everything else in the world. All he wanted to do is know Christ. And then he goes on to say this in verse number 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness or me working it out myself, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Those three things that we should be seeking, that we should know. Know the power of his resurrection. Know, the understand that when people go in the grave, they're not going to stay there. And the power of resurrecting one's soul to heaven is all in Christ Jesus through his blood that he shed. I want to know his fellowship of the suffering. How much suffering did Jesus do for me? It doesn't mean that I've got to suffer like him, but all of our complaining of all the shortcomings that we have in our life and the toenails that we bang up and the cuts that we have and the bruises we have and the doctor's visits we got to go. If you mounted up all of our complaints about the little things we had, it has nothing to compare what Jesus did, his 39 stripes, the crown of thorns placed upon his head, the mocking, the pulling of the beard, the slapping in the face, and then the stabbing in the side with a spear. He did that for me. If I could just know what that pain felt, just one beat of that whip, how it must have felt. But he took 39 lashes for me and you. And this life that we live and the things that we complain about is nothing. And Paul's saying, if I could just know, feel, put myself in his shoes, and know what he did for me. That's the fellowship of his suffering. And then as we go into death, we shouldn't complain about the life we have, especially if someone hurts us or harms us. We want to get back at them. But Jesus stood there and said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." May we understand and know Christ with that great knowledge that when people offend us and when they do wrong, we can say, "Father, forgive them." We don't talk about them. We don't criticize them. We don't, you know, try to change them. We just show them Christ. And Jesus said, if somebody slaps you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. They ask you to do one day's work, you do 2 days' work. Well, he didn't say work. He just said, if they ask you to go a mile, you go 2 miles. In that song, "When I Rise, Give Me Jesus," the latter phrase of that says, "You may have all the world, but give me Jesus." You can win the lottery. You can have the best, fanciest cars in the world. You can have houses in the north and the south and the Hawaiian Islands if you want to. You can own an island. But just give me Jesus. Because if I have Him, I have love, joy, and peace. And there's no comparison and having that complete in my life. There's a song that's sung at many of the Billy Graham crusades, and it goes like this: "I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world can afford." The verses go that He's fairer than the rarest lilies of bloom. He's sweeter than the honey from out of the comb. He is all that my hungering spirit needs. Jesus. When Peter was asked on that infamous beach after Jesus' death, His resurrection, Jesus asked him, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" And Peter responded, "Yeah, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus had to repeat that 3 times to Peter before he really got it. And then he told Peter, he said, "Then go feed my lambs, feed my sheep." When we truly understand God and how much He loves us and that He cares for us, that He died for us and He gave up everything for us, when we can know that and understand that, then we won't have any problems going out and doing more for the Lord in 2024. But instead, we're kind of wrapped up in our own world and we listen to all the, you know, the news and different things and the stories. We get all bogged down with our own life and the things that are happening to me, and we forget that Jesus had a lot of things going on in His life, but He died for you. He put all of that aside, and you were on His mind when He died on the cross. He loved you. And so I should, in my time of 2024, spend some time with the Lord who loved me most. So I want to do more in 2024 learning about my Lord. You know, if you're in a marriage or you're courting and you're wanting to date someone, what you want to do is learn more. If you stop and you become stale and you don't engage with your partner and companion, your love dwindles. It goes away. If you're not doing active work at work and growing as an employee, you'll lose interest in the job that you're doing. And so it is with a Christian. If you're not involved with Christian activity and Christian work and and you're not involved in a relationship with Christ, I know we can't see Him, but we know Him because the Spirit that dwells in us. When we pray and we read the Bible and we sing and you feel that joy and peace and understanding in your own, then you begin to understand God and you're spending more time with Him, and man, you're in love with Him. And so the more you love Him, the more you want to do for Him. The dishes you'll clean, the floors you'll mop, the toilets you'll clean the windows, you'll wash the clothes, you'll fold them up. You have this positive attitude going through life because you love Him more. You know Him more. You understand Him more. Jesus said this, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. He doesn't put more on us than we can handle. And He sure does bless us more than we really deserve. How blessing it is. You may complain about your sickness and your health, but when He heals you, woohoo! But do you spend time really thanking Him, engulfing? I mean, it could be a cold. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, your back out, or cancer, or an earache, or just a simple cold. When you're healed, it's not just natural immunities. God does something for you, especially if you ask. Our body will recover, but God made the body to recover for that reason. We should thank Him. He knows when you need sleep. You feel tired, and you go to bed. He allows your schedule sometimes to slow down because He knows when you need some rest. Not just your own knowledge, not just your own body telling you. No, God's telling you, you need to slow down. And then He tells you, you need to do some work again. I want to understand the workings of heaven. How in the world God puts everything. I want to get involved in that. And the only way I can is sit down and talk to Him for a little while. So I challenge you this year in 2024, not only do more, but don't get so busy doing a lot of things. Do more for Him, but get to know Him, what you're doing. Read the Scriptures, pray, talk about God, think about God, read books about God. And then lastly, not only do I want to do more for my Lord in 2024, and not only do I want to know more, but I want to develop more as a follower of the Lord in 2024. You see, I shouldn't be the same today as I was yesterday or a year or 2 years ago. I don't want to develop more as a Christian. There's a song that we used to sing in our children's church, and I would love to have Samuel and Mary to come up here and demonstrate this song for us. They're looking at me like, you're crazy. It goes like this. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Verse goes on to say, Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. I want to be, and then it goes on to say, I want to be more holy in my heart. I want to be, lastly, more like Jesus in my heart, in my heart. More than anything else in the world, I want to develop like Christ. I want to be more like Him every day. And if that's something that I'm not doing, then I'm failing me. I'm not failing God necessarily because He loves me, but I'm failing myself. If I'm not learning about Him and I'm not doing more and I'm not developing my Christian walk and my faith as strong as I can possibly make it. The more we develop as a disciple, the more we'll know about Him. The more we know about Him, the more desire we will have to do things for Him. However, the final result of that is that we will go out and share the gospel. More about Jesus will others know. And so in my development, I'm going to give you five things real quick in closing of what I need to develop. First of all, in my steadiness or steadfastness. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 5, "But whosoever keepeth this word, in him verily the love of God is perfected, and hereby know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought him also to walk even as he walked." Be like him. Wherever you go, whoever you see, whoever you come across, may the love of God portray out of your system, out of your life, so much so that they know that you are a Christian. And we should be steady at it, steadfast, every single day. 365 days going forward, every day of my life, I should try to learn more about Him and have the love of God perfected in my life so that when I see people, they will see the love of Christ. You know this. You know, children are the same way. People are the same way. But animals, especially dogs, they know when you're angry. You don't even have to say anything. And they know, you can just look at them, and they can sense the anger coming out of your skin, now the pores of your skin. They hear it, they smell it. Dogs are very sensitive in their smell, and they know also when you've got a little treat, and you got a little happy face on you, that your little doggy did a good job, and so they get all excited, and their tail wags, and they jump them down all over the place, because they know that they're going to get something good for it in exchange. When we're interacting with people, the Bible says that the light of the body is in the eyes. You can just look at somebody's eyes. You can tell if they're sad or they're tired or something's going on. But when we're meeting people, they know if we hate them. They know if we're looking down our nose at them. They know if we are judging them. They know if we have a positive response or a negative response for them being in the place that they are in. I was at BJ's yesterday. Mind you, I'm already got this message together. I'm standing at the little thing where the boxes are. I'm getting a box. My cart's there. You follow me? You been there? Anybody been there? So they got these boxes before you go out. You can put your stuff in it because they don't have bags. Put the box, putting stuff in. And this lady, I'm getting her to turn back around. And she kind of, I'm this far from the carriage of the boxes. I'm getting to my boxes. And she snuck in there. And I thought, I was turning, my wife was with me. And I thought, well, bless your heart. And then she walked away, and I said, thank you. I had to fill her mouth with all of her good words because she wasn't saying thank you or excuse me or please or anything. She just rudely interrupted me, and I was trying to hold myself back. But people know. And as we're going through the world, we should do this every day, practice it every day. Things don't go well for our lives, but we should practice it. That is a part of our life where naturally we're walking in Christ. The second thing is this. Not only should I develop in my steadiness, but I should develop in my service to each other as well as others. In John chapter 13, that chapter is where the Last Supper is actually recorded, the biggest chunk of it. "A new covenant I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So it's one thing to walk in the love, and people know that you're kind of a good person and positive person, but now you've got to act it out. The greatest people that we should be in love with is each other. We should fellowship with each other. We should enjoy each other. We should enjoy each other's company. We should, you know, have things together. I shouldn't have hiccups about you. I should love you totally. And if I can love you totally, then I can love someone out in the world. And every person that we come across, the focus in the mind is that I should show forth love to all people. And by this, he said, people will know that you're my disciple. Not by the accumulation of your wealth, not by what you do, not how well you decorate your house for Christmas or Halloween or whatever it is you do to get an award in your community. Not how well you get up the corporate ladder or how high your raise go. No, they will know you that are a disciple of Christ by your love for other people. So we should serve them. The third thing, not only should we be steady and not only should we develop in our service to others, but in our sweetness. Now, that's not a bad term for you guys. Us guys don't want to be sweet, do we? We don't want to be sweet. But your wife really likes it when you're sweet. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Smells good when you love. It's better than any perfume, sweeter than any of the greatest honeycomb or even the most beautiful flower in the world. When people know that you love them, everything is rosy without the thorns. It's like you can conquer the world. And when you have that person to put their arm around you and say, good job, or you can do it, or hang in there, and you know you've got a friend who will be there with you, that's the greatest inspiration in the world. And it smells good. When a person sacrifices, gives up a day or an hour, gives up food or money for you, they give it to you, boy, doesn't that smell good? Feels good that someone thought about me. That little note, that little card of encouragement. We shouldn't be so busy doing again that we don't forget about knowing that relationship with God is first and foremost about love, and that we should carry that to the world. And when we see someone in desperation, stop and talk to people. Don't be afraid. They got the same hiccups you got. Offer help when they drop something. Open a door when they're going through it with multiple things. Give them a smile. Give them hope. Every cash register that I get behind, you know what? It blows up. Something happens. Smoke comes out of it. I don't know what happens. But anyway. But I always try to encourage the person behind the register. Most of the time I say this, don't let the crowd get to you. And they kind of look at me kind of funny and I say, take a deep breath, everything's going to be okay. Especially if that cash register had an irate person in front of them. And they came, take a deep breath. We should show sweetness to people because, sure enough, they have enough anger in their life, bitter pills. Fourthly, I should want to not only develop my steadiness or in my service to others and my sweetness, but in our sustainability. You hear that term a lot in football and athletics. If we can sustain this drive, or if we can sustain this quarter, or we can sustain it all the way through this game, we'll win the game, blah, blah, blah. What do you want to sustain? I see a lot of Christians faltering, failing, dropping out of the game. Some people don't think it's worth coming to church and still having trouble. And so they give up. Those are the kind of lost sheep we need to go find. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's so much negative in the world. It's time for Christians to really turn on the light, turn on the pressure, and love people to death. If they could see the church turn and love people, I mean just love them like a grandmother loving a grandchild, squeezing their little cheek, and loving them to death, I think our world would get a whole lot better. But where is that love gone? Well, we're all tied up. We're all tight all the time, and we got all these problems in our life, and we judge each other, and we criticize, and we get wrapped up in it in different places, at work and in the community and in the news, and just cut all that stuff out and just be the Christian that God wants you to be. We've got to sustain not only a church faith, the love of God, the message of God, the gospel of God. We got to sustain it. There's nothing in the world that will save people from their sins and cause the chains of bondage to break loose other than those things. Man, we've got to survive. We got to do it. There's a song by Casting Crowns, and it goes, we're not meant to survive, we're meant to thrive. Produce the fruit, to be it. And that's what we should be. The church is not a place where young people should be dropping out and young married couples not dropping. We got to go find them, but we got to show them love and show them that it can be sustained. It can be. You can hold on. And then lastly, I give you this. Not only should I develop in my steadiness and in my service to each other, my sweetness and the sustainability, but in our spreading the good news that Jesus saves. The Bible says in John chapter 21 and verse 17, that infamous meeting on the beach that Jesus had. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because God had asked him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto the Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. This is the first response that Peter had given back to Jesus. You know all things, Lord. You know I love you. You know my heart. And Jesus said unto him, and I think here Peter gets it. What was Peter doing? He was fishing instead of finding the lost sheep. And Jesus gave him commission, you need to go. But instead, Peter was out there fishing, catching a bunch of fish, and is excited about his fish catch. But now, Jesus is his last days on this earth. He told Peter, he said, if you really love me, Peter, you'll get busy doing my business. And so, I'll leave you with this little illustration. We can sow with a purpose, or we can just scatter the seeds to the wind. The one picture is an elderly man, that generational guy, who does everything by the books. One seed at a time, slowly digging the ground up, but on his knees, planting a seed. It's slow, it's deliberate, it's on purpose. And then the other one is probably a young guy. He wants to get this thing over with. His daddy told him, said, if you get all that homework done out there, you get that done, you can go fishing. And so he's out there fast seeding, and he's throwing the seed to the wind. In both cases, they're going to yield some fruit. One is going to yield more fruit than the other one, but the other one is going to yield just amount, the same amount of fruit. And so we have this, the key to fruit bearing is you just have to sow. Jesus said this, whatever a man sows to his heart, that the same thing he's going to reap. So I asked you this question in doing more for Jesus in 2024. Will you do more for him or you do more for yourself? You're going to reap whatever you do. Who would you rather be doing it for? And how would you want to do it? With a purpose in mind or just scattering it to the wind to get 2024 over with? You can just get through the year. You know what's there? You just scatter seed here and there. Are you going to be real purposeful every single day? You're going to be growing and developing in the Lord. You're going to learn of Him. You're going to take on His life. You're going to walk in His presence. And you're going to do precisely the things that He's asked you to do, very purposely. You're going to ask for people, for God to speak to their hearts. You're going to go out and get them and bring them in. What is your purpose going to be in 2024? It's for sure, whatever you sow, that's going to be what you reap. The question is, what are you going to sow? There's a song by, I'm not sure if she's country western or pop singer, or what she's identified as. But it's a song entitled My Jesus. This song was an inspiration from her brother passing away. And she testifies that when her brother passed away, they were super close. That it was a wake-up call for her. And if you listen to the lyrics, maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. Take a thought about her as a young girl losing her older brother just in a moment. Gone. What it must have felt like for her. And then she decided that she was going to give her life more to Jesus.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that He can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is I know that He can do for you what He's done for me. Let me tell you.
pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about.
That's the message we got to give to people. It's not us. It's Jesus that can change people's life. We got to show them, hey, he changed my life. He can change yours too. Let's all stand. Heads bowed. And maybe you're here today and you need to make a fresh commitment to him. And this would be a great start. And maybe you don't know him as Savior. And today you could ask him into your heart to make him your Savior. Invite him into your life. May we as a church show more and more about Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your message. We thank you for the Holy Spirit convicting and inspiring us. And God, I pray that you would help us to do more in 2024 for you. For it is your life, it is your church, it is your country. It is your family. God, I pray that you would help us to be more for you. And that one who is here today who doesn't know you, I pray that they would ask you by simply saying, Dear God, I'm a sinner, and I believe that you are the Savior of the world, and I ask you to come into my heart to save me. May you do a work in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.